knew, you know, that I threw suckers at kids to get them to participate. And I got complaints from older folk in the back that they didn't get any. Well, guess what, older folk? You're here this morning, and I'm ready to throw suckers at you if you want them. So raise your hand, and they're coming your way. Oh, look at that. Sorry, CJ. There you go, Brad. Okay. Oh, sorry, Renee. All the way in the back. This will be fun. Watch your heads, people. Give it to her. Renee didn't get hers. All right, we're done. I did it. That's the youth pastor thing to do. It's Sunday morning. We're exhausted from VBS, right? People are tired. And so we're here. And it might feel like I'm just here. And that's okay. And I hope Jesus is able to meet you where you are this morning. I am fully confident of that, and I'm expectant of that, that he'll do that for you. You can get them after the service, young people. Okay, after the service. I'd like to say, if this message is bad, we blame Ken Lindsay. Ken, it's your fault, because you gave me last minute to do this. So if it's bad, we get to blame Ken, right? They are all in agreement, let the record show online. Ken, we're praying for you. I love you. Thanks for sharing with me yesterday what you were going to preach. I didn't take any of it, just so you know. So it's still your message for the next time you get here. I got to tell you, I love you guys, just so you know. If you don't know that, I've done a bad job over the last 6.5 years being here, letting you know and showing you that I love you as a pastor and as a person. So I love you. Last night, I wrestled for you. I wrestled God for you because I had no idea what to preach. I was stuck. I know I couldn't take Ken's stuff because it's Ken, and the way he preaches is the way Ken preaches. I can't preach like Ken. And he memorized a lot of quotes. I had no clue where they came from. So I was like, well, Lord, I'm a little stuck. And I know what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about what is the kingdom of God. And I wanted to talk about how that would impact us. And as I started to write things out, it just got more difficult. I just couldn't do it. And I was like, I threw my hands up. I said, fine, God. I don't know what to put down then. And I have a list here. I showed Brittany, and she told me I should show you. I won't read them all. But this is my list of complaints to God for not letting me be able to write down my message the way I wanted to or the way I thought it should go. And I had a lot of fears listed on here for you guys. I was fearful that if I started talking about the kingdom of God, you would get bored. And that hurts my heart because I am so in love with Jesus and his kingdom. And to think that somebody might think it's boring is hard for me. But I'm looking at this list and I'm like, fine, I'll pray on this list then. The difficulties that I think some people might have coming from a long week of VBS, difficulties people might have just being bored with the topic, difficulties I was having coming up with the message, I wrote them all down, I started praying about them, and I got my truths beside them. I claim my truths in Jesus' name, and we're going to get going as far as what God did lay on my heart to be able to talk about. So there was struggle, but I sought my king, and my king answered, and he told me, be my witness, which seems fairly fitting to what he told the apostles to do in Acts, and I said, you know what, that feels fine, I can do that. So this morning, I'm just going to be a witness for Jesus and what he's been doing in my life, and then I hope maybe you'll catch some of that fire. Boy, I hope you do. Because that would be awesome. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray for Ken and the children in the back. And then we'll get going. Father, we're here. Some of us are barely here. Some of us might have even missed it this morning and they're watching online. So I pray for those folks online, Jesus. Would you meet them? I'm in agreement with them. If they're there in Jesus' name, I'm there with them. In Jesus' name and spirit. So Lord, be present. Where two or three are gathered in your name, you are present, Jesus. So I pray for your presence. Your manifest presence with them, that they would get to experience you as just as much as we do. Father, would you please Come meet us this morning. Help us to receive what you want us to receive. And anything that's of me, let it just fall away. Lord, it's not about me. It's about us receiving your word and your truths and allowing them to transform our lives. So please do that this morning. We pray for the children. Lord, they seem sort of enthusiastic. They might have been tired too from VBS. So Lord, I pray for Chuck as they and the other helpers that are back there with him, that you would help them this morning. Give them pieces of Jesus. Give them pieces of your word that it might impact their lives and transform them as well, allowing them to receive Jesus as Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my journey with the kingdom of God, you ready? It's not going back too far. It starts at the beginning of the year-ish. I was reading a book. I forget what book. I've been reading a lot of books lately, which is new for me. Since ordination, the process made me read like 16 books. That was hard because they were thick ones. But it was difficult because I'm dyslexic and reading is not easy for me. But something happened while I was reading these books. I saw that God actually worked in other people's lives too. And that there were truths that they were wrestling with and were able to write out on page, and I was able to understand them, and I was thinking, this is pretty good. This might be helpful for me. So I've continued. I've continued reading books. And poor Rick has to deal with the book allowance because I get a book allowance. Thank you for the book allowance, by the way. I get a book allowance, and I'm buying books here and there, and then I'm reading these books. I'm reading books on prayer. And one of the books on prayer was dealing with the model prayer, which was Our Father who is in heaven, right? That's the model prayer that Jesus gives us. And then 40 days of prayer hits, and we're starting with that. And what's that on? The model prayer. If anybody did it with us, you would know that it was on the model prayer. And we did a whole series with that, Pastor Bill and I did. So it's starting to hit me, and then all of a sudden I get a little deeper into thought about these pieces of this model prayer. And I'm like, these are really personal pieces that Jesus gives us as this model. And then Ken preaches about Jesus talking about the kingdom of God and how it was like his number one message. Does anybody remember that message? Some people remember that. I like that you remember that message. That's good. So he preaches that message, and I start thinking, I mean, that's kind of right, right? I mean, the kingdom of God, Jesus talked about that way more than anything else except for the Father. He talked about the Father way more than everything because the Father sent him, and he loved the Father. And when you love something, you talk about it. But then comes the message, the good news of the kingdom, and that's what he talked about. So I started thinking about the kingdom of God. What is it? How should it impact me? And that type of thing. And it all started with the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to walk through this real quick and how personal it is for us. Okay, and then once we get to the kingdom, we'll stop at that part. So when we pray, Jesus says we should pray, Our Father in heaven. Right? We'll stop there. That's super personal. That's really personal. You don't get more personal than a parent. Think about this for a moment. This year, we're midway through June now. So we got 6 months under in our belt for 2023. How has God parented you in the last 6 months? How have you allowed God to parent you? Has he disciplined you? Because that's a thing God does. Has he blessed you with gifts? Because that's something a good parent does. Has he taught you in the pain? Because that's something he does too. Is he present with you in the pain? Does he comfort you this past 6 months? There's other things, obviously. There's way too many things that a good parent does that God does as well. How has God parented you? How has he been a good father to you this past 6 months? That's personal. You take that, and then you get to the next spot. Hallowed be your name, which is holy is your name. You are so other. You're praiseworthy. You're to be worshipped. And that's personal. This isn't just a general, I hope I get to worship God with my life. This is personal worship. This is us and God and us going, okay, God, you came to me in your character. You parented me. You showed me your kindness. You showed me your tenderness. You rebuked me when I needed rebuked. You disciplined me. You comforted me. You were with me. And I will praise you because of that. And when I call you Father, it's different when they call you Father. I know you as Father from me. So let me ask you this. Everyone in here has a daddy. Is that accurate? I would think that's accurate. Okay, so everyone in here has a daddy, earthly dad. I don't know if you have siblings or not, but if you have a sibling, I bet they view your dad differently than you view your dad. Is that fair? Everyone has unique experiences with their parents. We have unique experiences with our Heavenly Father, and we get to praise Him for those in this prayer. Does this make sense? This model that Jesus gave us is personal. Very personal. And then we get to a point where it feels like it's not personal, but it is, which is your kingdom come, your will be done. And in the original language, there is no punctuation. English people, we need punctuation apparently, because we're afraid of run-on sentences. Jesus wasn't too afraid of run-on sentences. So in the original, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Smush them together, and you have a prayer that sounds like this. Your kingdom come and your will be done right now on earth as it is in heaven. Not just your will be done right now, but your kingdom come as well right now. We want it today. We need it today. So that got me. That's where I was at on my journey. I was like, okay, if this is that personal, if the kingdom needs to be coming in my life, I need to figure out what in the world I'm even praying about. You understand, I've been a Christian now this year, make 23 years next month. And I didn't get it. I'm a pastor who has preached to you the last 6.5 years. I've done youth ministry for 15 years. And I've never prayed this way. Your kingdom come. Specific character and values of the kingdom in my personal life, I have not prayed, Lord, let those flow through me as a person. Have you? Maybe you're better than me. Maybe you're smarter than me, which is possible. I'm not the smartest. I get it. And God chooses the foolish things to lead the wise things. Here I am, biggest fool you could have picked. I'm up in front of you and I'm leading you at the moment in this. Okay, this is my journey. So here we are. We have a very personal call by Jesus to pray to the Father, who should be in our life, we should have relationship with. And we should be praising Him for the personal ways that He interacts with us. And asking Him to allow where He is to meet us where we are and to allow that to come out into our own lives. So I think Jesus wants us to experience praying for specific pieces of the kingdom right now, today, in this moment. But in order to know what to ask for, we actually have to know what the kingdom is, what it's about, where is it, who's it for? All these great questions, right? We have to know. And the fun thing about our message this morning is that I'm not going to give that to you. Isn't that fun? So fun. I hate that. So I need clear-cut answers. Don't you? Anybody else with me? I have to have them, or I feel off, like I don't have a foundation. So I have to have clear-cut. And this is not. Jesus didn't give it that way. So here we go. You all have a bulletin, or at least most of you have a bulletin. On the backside, there's a place for notes. Do yourself a favor. I'm going to give you a minute to write down what you would define as the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Write that down for yourself. Just so that if you're wrong, Jesus can correct that, and you can see over time how, I mean, as you're writing it down, you're going to remember it for sure. So over time, as Jesus begins to teach you what is the kingdom of God, you'll be able to find how He's shaped and molded you over time to understand what the kingdom of God is. So write down that definition. I'll give you a minute. Hope you're doing it at home too. You can feel free to put it in the chat so we can see it. That'd be fun. No, nobody's turning in their bulletin, but you're not here today, and it'd be cool to see what people are saying. What is the kingdom of God? How would you define it? Here we go. So we're going to get going. What is the kingdom of God? I'm going to encourage you. Can I encourage you real quick? Of the 40 plus times the kingdom of God is mentioned in the Gospels, not one time is it defined. Jesus never defines what the kingdom of God is. That irks me. Not one time. In fact, there is nowhere in the Bible. Feel free to read the whole Bible this week. That'd be really good for your spiritual health. Read the whole Bible. You'll not find one verse that defines what the kingdom of God is. Does not put those limitations on what it is. It doesn't pinpoint all. And don't get discouraged. I feel, if you're like me, you might feel a little discouraged at the moment. And remember, I'm trying to encourage you. Don't get discouraged and ask, like, why are we talking about this then? Because I get it. I like clear-cut answers. But Jesus knew, God knows, that the moment he pinpoints, the moment he puts those boundaries, the definition around what is the kingdom of God, that is the moment we mess it up. Think about your life for a moment and all the things that you categorize. Think about historical facts of the Bible and all the things that they categorized and they boxed up. Well, this goes here and this goes there and this goes there. And Jesus doesn't do it. He knows if he does it, we're going to mess it up. So he leaves it weird. And all he does, this is what Jesus does. He doesn't give any definition, but he does give instructions and examples and defenses and explanations for the kingdom of God, but he never defines it. He gives parables, but he never defines it. He might even explain the parables of this is what the kingdom of God is like. But he never defines the kingdom. It is always, because it's so much more than just this one little boxed in definition. The kingdom of God is alive, it's moving, it's growing. That's one of the things he describes it as. It's like a mustard seed. It's real small and then it gets planted and it grows. So it's growing, it's alive, and it's hard to explain. You just have to get it. That makes sense. So, how do we get a handle on the kingdom of God? How do we get to a point where we're figuring out pieces, figuring out facts of the kingdom of God, and we use that to seek the kingdom well? I hope you are able to stick with me throughout this. Ken and I are wanting to do nice series of what is the kingdom, how does it impact us, so that we can be a church and a people that is kingdom focused. So this is some of the most important and impactful truths that I believe we will encounter this year. And that's a bold statement, isn't it? We need to be kingdom people. We need to be a kingdom church. We need to be kingdom people. We need to be a kingdom church. Or we might be in trouble with the king. This needs to be a kingdom church in order to reach the goals and desires I've been hearing for a long time. You all have a lot of hopes that you feel are going unmet. And they are found in the kingdom. I have a lot of hopes that are going unmet and are found in the kingdom. And I'm finding them in the kingdom. And I have to be patient and wait and figure out how do I maneuver into this and live kingdom life. Our church needs to be kingdom focused. It will fix way more than we realize needs to be fixed in our individual lives and our lives together as a church. We are kingdom focused. Let me give you a verse so that it's not like Sean's opinion, right? Because I've given you model prayer, and you're like, okay, I can accept that. And then you get to this point, and you're like, Sean, you're starting to sound like you're giving a lot of opinion. Ready? This is a verse that is fairly well known in the church and fairly well ignored or done incorrectly. Church as a whole, not maybe our church as well, but this is the verse. Matthew 6:33. Seek first what? Yeah, seek first his kingdom, according to the NIV. And then we're like, well, whose kingdom is his? Verse 32 tells us it's God's kingdom. So seek first God's kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will happen? Everything else will fall into place. Everything else will be given to us. What are you desiring for the church? What are you desiring for your own personal lives, your own personal walk with Jesus? Guess where it's found? In the kingdom. We've got to get this. I am 100% confident. That's a lot of confidence, by the way. 100% confident. This is our solution to difficult years of decline, the stagnation of our own hearts when it happens, the boredom we feel in our spiritual lives, the embarrassment we might feel in the church, all the conflict in our lives, the lack of God's power on display, and so much more. Are you convinced yet that we need to be a church that is kingdom focused? And you might say, well, yeah, but I don't have a clue what it is. And that's all right. We just need to be convinced. First things first, though. Seeking the kingdom. We got to get the first thing first. Right? Can't go out of order. Here's the first thing. Look to the king. This is my only point for the whole day. This is a point that needs to marinate in your heart and in your mind the rest of the week. Look to the king. He has to be king. The Bible says Jesus is the head of the church. It also says he's the king of the kingdom. He's got some pretty important positions. Sounds like we should be seeking him first. Look to the king. So it says seek the kingdom. Makes sense if we start with the king, doesn't it? He is king of the kingdom. Let me ask us, MLT, you're with me in this. Elders, volunteers, myself, is Jesus head of your ministry? Is he the king of your ministry? Because if he's not, who is? Are you seeking the king's decision in everything? Everything. Lord, what should we do as outreach things? Yeah, we've done this year after year. Is this what you still want us to do? This has been faithful, and this has been faithful and fruitful for us. Should we still do it? Not because it's tradition, but because it's what the king wants. We have to be a kingdom-focused church. It's got to be what the king wants. All of us, are we seeking the king? Jesus is the primary piece of the kingdom. If we aren't seeking Jesus, if our ministries and our personal lives aren't surrendered to his rule, then who is actually king of the ministry? Who is actually king of your life? If it's not Jesus. We've got to seek the king. We've got to get that peace right first. It's got to be right first. Jesus starts his ministry out here in Mark chapter 1. And it says this about it. Mark chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come. So right now, the time has come. He said, The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What's the good news? The kingdom is near. That's the good news. Jesus kicks off his ministry after John gets imprisoned and starts preaching what? The kingdom is here. The kingdom is near.
That's right.
You can reach out and grab it if you wanted to. Sorry, I have a lot of thoughts going through my head. I'm calming down a little bit. So, in this time, Jesus comes as the Messiah in this historical point of life. And his people, the Jews, are looking for a king to come to overthrow the Roman Empire. Aren't they? That was their hope for the Messiah. Come and reestablish Israel. Throw away all the people that are shackling us. Let me ask you, what kingdom or king are you waiting on? I'm sure it's Jesus. And I'm sure it's the kingdom of heaven. But let me ask you, can you have it right now? Do you want it right now? Because if you don't want Jesus as king, and you don't want the kingdom of God, you may not end up there. It's just the way it works. That's just how relationships work. You don't want the person in a relationship with you, you don't get that person in a relationship with you. Gotta want that. We gotta need that in the church. So Jesus starts off with like this. This is how we get it right. Repent. Repent. You gotta turn away from your own lordship and your own kingdom and let it crumble, catch on fire, burn it to the ground. And you gotta receive him as king and as lord of your life, as ruler of your life. And you gotta accept his kingdom and start seeking his stuff first. Repent and believe the good news that his kingdom is better than your kingdom. His kingdom and his church, much better than what anything we could have in store for us. Are you on board with that? I hope you're on board with that. Jesus is willing to offer us new life, new power to live by, a new identity to live in, a new faith to make God smile. This has to be step number one in seeking the kingdom. It has to be. We have to seek the king. We have to seek him. Believe him. We have to believe him. Do you believe that Jesus actually has the best in store for us? Even if it hurts. Do you believe that he has the best in store? I do. I believe that the best days of this church are ahead of us. Is Jesus actually king over you and your things? Before you answer, because I know that when I hear messages like this, I get a little defensive. There's a thing within us that rises up. And it's like, don't like the way you're talking to me. And yes, Jesus is king in my life. But then I want you to do this. Does your life actually support that answer? It's got to be founded in the proof. Proof is in the pudding without the G. Proof is in the pudding. Is your life showing that Jesus is king of your life? If not, we got some stuff to sort out this morning. Is Jesus king of our church? Proof is in the pudding. If not, we got some stuff to sort out this morning with Jesus. So there's three ways to sort that out. I'm going to give you these three ways. The first one may not sit with you, and that's fine. Maybe you're like, I got this. I'm pure. I'm good. Maybe the next two will get you there. So here we go. The first one. What sin do you need to confess? Because when you live your life in your own kingdom, you start doing things your way, not God's way, which is a rebellious way to live against God, right? Which means you're living a lifestyle of sin. So has it been your way, or has it been the king's way? If it's been your way, you got some sin to confess. And I do mean confess. You can confess it to the king. You can confess it to the kingdom people. You can come up and I'll pray with you. That would be great. Second way. Maybe you're like, you know, Jesus is king. I'm just not doing too good. You know, that happens. So what piece of your life is God, is King Jesus, asking for, and you have not surrendered it yet? Maybe you're not in a state of sin, technically. I mean, sort of. Because if we know the good things we should do and we don't do them, that's sin, according to James. But maybe it's not exactly sinful, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's like, you need to give me that. I want that. I want to be king over that too. And you're not doing it. That's a need for consecration in your life. Get off the throne and let God have it. What has God been asking you? This is the third one. What has God been asking you to do more faithfully and you haven't been because it would be uncomfortable? What has God been asking you to do more faithfully, to commit to, but you haven't because it would be uncomfortable? Let's let Jesus have his rightful place in our hearts, rightful place in our lives, in our church. I'm going to ask, as the music team comes up, if you need to deal with something and you would like prayer with us, maybe even the people that will be praying for you need to deal with something too. That's fine. Come up. Let Jesus deal with us this morning as a church, as individuals, as a collective. And let's allow Jesus to be king of our lives. This has to happen, church. We have to be kingdom people. We have to be a kingdom church, or we're going to be in trouble with the king. Let me say this one last thing. Maybe this morning you feel like you're being drawn to deal with something, and maybe you can't pinpoint it. Maybe you're like, you know, one of those three things. I don't know. I just know that I feel that tug, and I really want to deal with it, but I don't know what it is. Come forward anyway. Let me talk with you. We'll pray about those feelings. We'll pray into those feelings so that God can deal with that too. It might be unknown to you, but I guess what? I bet it's not unknown to our King. He's pretty good at what he does. So come up if you need to come up. We'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. And let's stand and sing our last song this morning, please.